Right. Do you want to come and join me? This is my lovely friend Hannah. And Hannah is married to Robin there, the good-looking chap with the glasses back there. And Hannah, a few years ago, went off to university, to Oxford, very good, to study Russian and French, believe it or not. And actually, you spent a year in Russia, didn't you?
Yeah.
And during her second year, Hannah and a group of friends sort of had a heart to get students involved in areas of social justice. And out of that, sort of conceived this idea of a charity that would work with students, trying to engage them in this during their time as students, that would kind of fuel that for a lifetime, really. And so was born a charity called Just Love. And then when Hannah graduated, she had options before her, but chose to come and work in Bristol and the southern region, stretching from Exeter up to Nottingham, I discovered, which isn't that southern, really, Nottingham, is it? But to be the regional rep for Just Love, which is, you know, it's in its infancy, really, isn't it? But it's a charity that's expanding. And she's working with students around the South and up to the East Midlands, trying to engage them in these issues. And I thought it should be great to just come and share a bit about, maybe a little bit about what they do, but on this whole issue of justice and God's call on us for justice. Hannah loves cooking. I just thought I'd throw in a bit of a personal thing there. A great baker, isn't she, Robin? Yeah. So, over to you, Hannah.
Yeah, great. Oh, it is a real privilege to be here at Alma today, because I have had a bit of contact with Alma over the years. I grew up in Bristol, and when I was a teenager, I went to Redland Parish Church, and I was part of the youth group there, and I know some youth are part of that. And we used to go to Soul Survivor with Alma, so I knew lots of the Alma youth and some of the youth workers there, and actually was really blessed on one particular occasion, because me and my sister decided that we would cycle to Soul Survivor on our bikes, and of course my mum drove there with our stuff, which completely defeated the point of cycling there. But we wanted an adventure. It was August, the summer holidays, we were a bit bored. But about 3 miles in, my sister fell off her bike and came down really badly, and she got a pedal kind of stuck in her thigh, and she had a really serious injury. But we carried on at Soul Survivor, joined Alma and Redland there, and I remember some of the Alma youth leaders kind of tending to her wound, so it's a bit belated, but thank you very much for your care. So today, I think Simon invited me, as he said, because he kind of wanted me to share a bit of my experience of kind of reading verses like Micah, the ones in Micah 6:6-8, and kind of thinking, what does it actually mean for us to act justly? And what does biblical justice look like? What's God's heart for justice, and how can we kind of live that out? And I said it is a real privilege to be here, because I'm speaking today about verses that have profoundly shaped me and changed me and my life, and that of the community around me, and have given birth to this student movement called Just Love. So I don't know, when Laura was reading those verses, whether you had any questions, kind of what actually is justice? What does it look like to act justly? It sort of sounds like for the last 3 weeks you've been reading these verses, you've been thinking about loving mercy and walking humbly, but this kind of act justly thing has been up in the air a bit. And some of you might have an idea, and I know that as a church you're kind of engaging with justice, and you've been doing the soup run and the sleep out, and there's a real feeling amongst you that that's something that you want to do and want to pursue. So I kind of just want to share my story and maybe challenge you to go further with it, according to what God's put on your hearts. And it's interesting, because Micah, he was writing about acting justly around the same time that other really amazing prophets like Isaiah and Amos were also prophesying to the people of Judah and Israel about justice and the importance of God's justice. So I'd actually like to just read a few other chunks of the Bible now, just to kind of give us a bit more framing about biblical justice and what that meant at the time that Micah was prophesying on behalf of God. So we're going to start off in Amos 5. These might be familiar to you. Great, so it's Amos 5, 21-24. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream. So there's another reference to justice and justice, God's desire for justice, in the context of the people thinking that they could please God just by observing festivals and just by kind of offering sacrifices. But God really wanted to get to the heart of it with them and say, actually, I desire so much more. I don't just want material sacrifices. I don't want you to just give your money a couple of times a year. I want your whole life to reflect the values that I have of justice. And Isaiah goes into a bit more detail what those values of justice are. And this is a really well-known passage, but every time I read it, I get the tingles. So if you'll indulge me, I'm going to read it again. So it's Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 11. I might have a bit of water beforehand, just so my voice is at its premium, you know. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. And as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God, they ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And that particular Isaiah 58 verse has been so significant in my life and in the story of Just Love, because around 4 years ago, actually to the day, to the month, we had been reading these verses together. Our church in Oxford had put on this thing called a social justice program because they noticed that a few of us were getting a bit itchy. The students were kind of like, oh, but, you know, in the Bible there seems to be so much about God's heart for justice. But in our own lives, we're not reflecting that. We're not reflecting some of the standards and some of the values that God asks of his people to live by and to act out. So what can we do? So our church, St Aldate's, they said, okay, we'll put on a Bible program for them, and hopefully that will get them in the right direction. You know, they won't go too far off course if we ground it all in the Bible. And I'm so grateful for that everything that we started 4 years ago was grounded in a real love of what God said and of his character revealed in the Bible about justice, about his real heart for justice. And some of the things that I've just read from Isaiah 58, they are some definitions of biblical justice and of God's heart for justice. And in the Old Testament, there are basically two Hebrew words that are used to describe justice. And the first is tzedek, and that's kind of like righteousness. It's about living an upright life. It kind of comes for the word, the old kind of Semitic Arabic Hebrew word for straight. And the other word is mishpat, and that's kind of like mercy. It's like justice. It actually combines like so many different aspects of what we would call justice today. And it's about living an upright life, and it's about desiring like the justice of God, that things be right and be in the right place. And to kind of think about what that looks like practically, some of the things that Isaiah mentions, these might sound really familiar. It's about loosing the chains of injustice. It's about upholding the rights of workers. It's about sharing our food with the hungry, providing shelter to the poor and to the refugee. It's about clothing those who are cold and naked. Acting justly and doing these things is really, really, really important to God. And that realization that feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, welcoming the refugee, supporting those who are oppressed, looking to free them from their oppression in the name of Jesus, is basically at the very heart of what Just Love does. So that's kind of where we come onto the Just Love story, which I'd love to share with you, hopefully just as an encouragement of sort of what's happening around the country at the moment in kind of student communities based out of churches and universities. Because at Just Love, we kind of took these verses and we took what does it look like to act justly in God's eyes? You know, how can we be representing a really just God to the world around us in the most authentic and faithful way that we can so that people will know more of God through what we do and through the love that we show? And so we said, okay, we want every Christian student to be living out the biblical call to social justice. We want every Christian student to be living out the biblical call to social justice. So how can we do that? We started meeting and praying in Oxford, where we were studying. And Oxford's got one of the highest rates of homelessness per capita in the country. It's a bit like Bristol, actually, that there are lots of homeless people who pass through, and there are lots of people trying to kind of impact and trying to care for homeless people. But as students, we realised that we were kind of uniquely placed because the homeless people in our city centres, they were actually sleeping outside our student accommodation, outside our colleges and our halls. We'd walk in off the street and go to a three-course meal, a three-course formal hall in our Oxford colleges, and outside on the street there would be our homeless brothers and sisters sleeping out in the cold. And that just didn't feel like God's will for their lives at all, that they were made in the image of God and that he cared for them so much as he cared for us, but that our lives looked so radically different and that they were suffering so much while we were living in so much privilege. And that felt like the kind of injustice that the Bible talks about, when there's prosperity for the rich and for the select, but the poorer keep getting poorer, where people who have power and privilege don't help out those who are oppressed and don't help out those who are in need. We kind of saw actually that our own lives were not what God required from us. And that was really significant because I think sometimes as Christians, as churches, we can read these kind of prophetic calls to justice and to righteousness and think that we're supposed to give them to the world. But actually we have to be transformed by those calls ourselves first. And we felt that really strongly as a group of students, that before we could go out and kind of transform our society, before we could go out and be playing a key role in politics, in business, in finance, in teaching, in care, we really had to allow God's values of justice to transform us, his values of justice and love, to be at the very centre of our lives. And then we could actually go out and start challenging the world around us and the norms that we saw that were counter to God's heart for justice. We really needed to do that first. We needed to grab hold of it. And then we could kind of give a prophetic call to our society who don't yet know God, but we had to be transformed first. And so we kind of started going out and we started meeting with homeless people, and we just said, within a year, can we learn the name and story of every homeless person in our city? And the first time we met, we thought, okay, great, you know, we're going to start going out on the streets, ministering to homeless people, learning their names, praying with them, sharing our stories, learning theirs. It's going to be great. Let's hold a meeting. Let's go out. And the first meeting we held, there were just two people there. And you can't really go out in groups of less than three. So we didn't go. We held this kind of big fanfare, but no one came. And actually, it was a really good lesson because we thought, no, this is really important. If in the whole of Oxford there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe 400 or 500 Christian students in this city, but only two of us turned up to go and minister to the homeless people in our city, like, we need to get organised. Like, this isn't just like a few people getting together and making themselves feel better about their faith and about how faithful they are. Like, we actually really need to change the whole culture. Like, we need a radical cultural shift in Oxford and amongst the students. And that was helpful because we got mad, we got angry, we got organised. And we formed this thing called Just Love. And after we started working with homeless people, and 4 years later, there's a group of students, there's about 30 students who go out twice a week on a Tuesday and on a Friday in the term time and in holidays. People stay behind in the holidays just to carry on ministering to the homeless people in that city. So that work is ongoing. But alongside the homeless outreach work that people are doing in Oxford, there's also stuff going on in Exeter, in St Andrews, in Durham, in Bath, in London, in Cambridge, in Norwich, in Glasgow, and in Liverpool and Manchester. So it's actually 13 cities across the UK are now involved in Just Love, linked into our network, and going out and blessing the homeless people in their cities. But not just homeless people. We also do work with survivors of trafficking. Where appropriate, we kind of go in and partner with safe houses for people who've been rescued and identified by police. And we kind of join befriending schemes. So it looks like just giving an hour or 2 hours a week to meeting up with someone who's trying to transition from a safe house and back into normal life. It looks like going out for a coffee with them, or going shopping, or going to the library, or doing a kind of everyday thing that actually feels really scary to someone who's been trapped in slavery for an amount of time. So that's kind of the local side of what we do. Sometimes it looks like befriending elderly people and kind of thinking, actually, there are lots of elderly people in the same places where students live. And sometimes they can be lonely, or sometimes they can feel isolated in their community because friends have moved on. What would it look like if there were students and elderly communities who kind of joined together and had friendships and were able to bless each other? And so we link up with elderly people, with the Alzheimer's Foundation, and kind of run befriending programs there, getting people to be Alzheimer and dementia friends. And that's particularly happening in Bath, which is really exciting. And that's on a local scale, but we kind of want to look at issues of injustice as Just Love on three levels, on the personal level, on the local level, and on the global level. And I think that really reflects kind of the heart of justice in the Bible, that actually we, as followers of Christ, we have to be transformed first on our own personal level. Before we can go out and transform the world around us, we have to kind of let God really shape our identity and our purpose in life. And so our kind of personal stream, that every group, every single one of our 13 groups, that they do something to do with prayer and worship and rooting all of their outreach and all of their campaigning and all of their fundraising in prayer and worship of the living God. And it's been really exciting, actually, to see Just Love groups kind of take part in the 24/7 prayer rooms like you guys have been running this week, and kind of thinking, okay, how can we pray for a real change in our city? How can we pray for the end of, like, for trafficking to end? Like, how can we pray for the tide of, like, climate change to be completely reversed in our nation? Like, these are the kind of things that God desires, because they really affect human life, and they affect whether justice is happening in our city and in our country and in our land and in our world. So let's take this on. Let's take on the mantle of really caring about creation, really caring about God's heart for people, for the whole planet, actually. And just praying audacious prayers, but rooting everything we do, all of our local stuff and all of the kind of fundraising that we do, in prayer. So we do local stuff, we do personal stuff, we kind of look, where's my heart? Am I being transformed in the love of God and his heart for justice yet? And then we also do global stuff, and I kind of mentioned that a few times, but thinking, actually, there are some big global issues of injustice, whether it's the fact that rich countries are profiting by selling arms to each other, which are fueling civil wars and deadly conflicts in other parts of the world. And is it right that British companies get rich from those kind of transactions, when actually hundreds of thousands of people are losing their lives in conflicts around the world? Like, that's not right, and we need to do something about it. We need to speak up on behalf of the oppressed, and we need to play a really key role in being that prophetic voice in our world. Like, where is justice? Where is peace? Where is Jesus in this situation? He's with the poor. He's with those who are suffering. And we want to be a people like that. And we've seen some cool things happen. We realised last year, a couple of years ago, that violence against women is happening everywhere. And probably many of you know someone who's been affected by a form of violence against women. Or you yourselves are survivors of that. And violence against women can take lots of different forms, whether it's female infanticide or gender-based, gender-selective abortion. It could be forced marriage. It could be trafficking. It could be lots of different things, domestic violence. We said, actually, as Christian students, we need to stand up. We need to be equipped against this stuff. We need to not just want to change it in our own, in kind of the wider world, but we need to realise it's happening in our own communities, that actually if like one in three female students experiences violence at university at some point during their time at university, then we need to be like equipped to support those people. We need to speak out against it and say, this isn't God's heart. This isn't what he wants to do. This isn't his will for the lives of female students in Oxford, or in Durham, or in Bristol, or in Exeter. You know, we are speaking about a better life, and about healing that God offers. So let's live that out. Let's offer that. And so last year we ran a campaign, and it reached 90,000 people across the country, just because we kind of organised and we said, right, okay, Christian students in 13 different cities across the country, how could we bring the good news of Jesus to our university by specifically speaking into issues of injustice and issues of violence against women? And another story that's kind of connected, actually, is that in Durham, some students realised that local shelters, like homeless shelters, they didn't always have enough sanitary items for the vulnerable women that came in to use their services. And so they said, okay, well, we could definitely get some supplies in for the next year. What if we could raise all of the supplies for 1 year for homeless women in Durham and across the northeast? And so they ran this campaign. In the first year, they collected a few thousand items, and that was amazing. They were so pleased. One of their houses was completely taken over by boxes of sanitary items. But in the second year, they said, okay, well, let's run it again, because it was really successful, and we were able to really bless some local services that needed sanitary items for vulnerable and homeless women. And then in the second year, they collected 750,000 sanitary items. And just to give you sort of a sense of scale, that's three articulated lorries full of sanitary items. And the day that the sanitary items were delivered, because quite a big bulk of them came from writing to Procter & Gamble and saying, we're running this campaign, have you got some spare sanitary items that you could donate to us? And we had a few graduates, like a few people who'd been involved in Just Love at Procter & Gamble, and we got them involved, and they were like, yeah, I think we could probably give you guys some. We'll get back to you about the exact number. And the number came back, and it was like 774,000 sanitary items, which is amazing. But right up until the day that those sanitary items were delivered, we didn't know where we were going to put them. We didn't actually have a space to store them. And the day before, we were praying and praying, like, God, you've been so faithful in delivering these sanitary items to us. We really want them to be put to good use, but we need to have somewhere to store them, because even all of our houses couldn't store all of these items. Even if like 100 of us got together, we wouldn't have enough space. But the day before, a food bank called up and said, oh, we've just managed to shift loads and loads and loads and loads of old supplies. Do you guys need some space to store anything? We were like, yeah, yeah, we do. And so these three articulated lorries turned up the day after, and we were able to put them in storage. And then a few local charities took some that would cover the whole of the northeast of England for a year. And then another charity took them to refugee camps in Greece and to women's projects in Zambia. So that was the effect of just a few students kind of getting together and saying, what can we do to meet a need in our city? What can we do to kind of be that influence, that change, that prophetic call to justice that we see in the Bible? How can we be living that out now? Just as a group of Christian students who don't have loads of expertise, don't have loads of experience, have hardly any money, but have a real heart for this stuff, how could God use us? And I think that's where I want to really draw to a close, is that we, as Just Love, we're growing really quickly. We started 4 years ago with just one group. 2 years later, we had two groups. But in the last 2 years, we've grown from 2 to 13 groups. And by September, we think we'll probably have 16 groups. So that's 16 cities where Christian students are really gathering and thinking, how can we be the kind of the evidence of God's heart for justice in the cities where we are? How can we be really showing God's love in practical ways, in outrageous ways, to the city in which we live and to our wider world? How can we be doing that, not just as students, but for decades to come? How can we be transformed now and be the kind of people that dedicate our whole lives and our whole careers to God's heart for justice and to living that out in whatever sector of society we find ourselves in. They've kind of asked themselves these questions, and now, like, our graduates are in, like, politics. You know, they really want to become MPs. They want to become people who are lobbying and creating bills and fueling change, but also want to be teachers and want to be doctors and want to be nurses, want to be people working in every area of society. And I think that that's God's heart for the church, is that we be people who witness to his character and his love for the world in the way in which we gather. And as a church, as Alma, you are in such an amazing position in the heart of the city to really bless this city. And I guess I just believe that what God wants to say to you today is, what is on your heart? You know, what is that prophetic call to justice that you could be living out together in a greater way? How could you be reorientating your lives around the poor and around the vulnerable in our city? And I love that part in Isaiah where it says, spend yourself on behalf of the hungry. Spend yourself on behalf of the hungry. I still have no idea what that means. And none of us who are part of Just Love really do. But as we've kind of sought to live that out in a more radical way than we ever thought possible, we've really seen God's goodness, his faithfulness. We've seen him use us in remarkable ways. And so I just want to bless you as Alma, really, and to say that I really pray that God would use you in ways that would completely, like, break out of your expectations of what he might do in and through you. And I pray that things like the soup run and the sleep out and the ways in which you're trying to reach the most vulnerable in your city, that you would see more of Jesus as you do that, and that you would encounter more of his heart, and that you would see people coming to faith as a result. So maybe I'll just pray as I close. Is that okay? And then Simon, you can maybe come up. Father God, I thank you for the privilege that it is to speak in this church this morning and to be able to share something of your heart. And I thank you for Alma, who so faithfully loved you and proclaimed your gospel in this city for many, many years. And I pray that you would lead them and guide them in this coming phase as they think about how they can live out your heart for justice, how they think about how they can bless their city and reach out to their city. And I pray that they would know your provision, that they would know your heart for them in all that they do. And I pray that you would just bless them abundantly as they bless their city and as they reach out to the poorest and the most vulnerable in it. Amen.